Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Well, I don't know about you, Randy, but the weather here in San Diego right now is insane. It's Monday morning. It's January 25th, and I feel like I'm in the Wild West right now because it's blowing like 50 miles an hour where I live. And I was just telling you before we got on here that I don't know where it came from. I live in like a neighborhood, and a tumbleweed just came running down my street, and I have no idea where it came from. So that's how windy it is here. It's creating tumbleweeds. I'm in San Diego. I know you're out in Texas. What's it like out there? Is it the same?
Yeah, it's where the tumbleweed came from.
It blew from all the way from Texas.
Yeah. It blew from my block to yours, you know. It's a common occurrence here.
Yeah.
But
thank you for
good.
Sharing. Yeah, thank you for sharing your tumbleweeds with us here.
No, no problem, man. Anytime. Shoot you one anytime you need one.
Thank you. I'll keep that in mind. This is the Aztecs basketball podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Matt Scraby. That's Randy Holcomb. Randy, Hall of Famer for the Aztecs. And Believe has a podcast for every one of your teams and the only place with a show for your favorite team. We believe in our teams, and we get started here with another episode after two very nice Aztec wins over the weekend. They needed this to get back on track. They beat Air Force twice. First, 98-61 on Friday night, and then 91-59 last night. In the first game, Randy, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but in the first game, we saw a little bit of a shakeup in the starting lineup, and it seemed to work out okay because freshman Lamont Butler and Terrell Gomez, for the first time this season, started in place with Arope and Adam Seiko. So I'm not sure what that was all about, why it all of a sudden changed, but what's your thoughts on that?
I think that was just an offensive output that they were seeing in practice. Dutch, I'm sure, saw some sort of offensive, I don't want to call it. Yeah, there was something missing offensively there that we were watching from the week before when they played against Utah State, but it worked because Gomez, you know, was I quietly got a man crush on him. He was shooting the blood out of the ball. And for the most part, everybody did. They all played well, and they really needed this. They really needed this week after playing against Utah State last week. They really needed this week to build some confidence, and they did that.
They did, and I know Jordan Shackle said after the first game that he said, when you lose back-to-back to Utah State, it doesn't sit right with me, it doesn't sit right with this team, and we needed both of these games to get back on track. They were up 52-16 at halftime. I was watching this on my phone because we were still at work when the game started, and I just kept seeing the score go up. At some point, I think it was like 25 or 8-6. When take us through some of the games that you've played that are like that, where you're up by so much. Like, what's the most difficult part of playing a game like that? Because it seems like it would be really easy to just have fun and kind of go, like, I guess Harlem Globetrotters and then mess up. Right. But what's your take on that whole thing?
Well, I think that first off, Air Force was clearly overmatched, right? And
yes.
the one thing that we do, one thing that the Aztecs do, is defend really well. So them being held to 16 points was not an issue. You and I talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. They defend as good as anybody in the country. The problem was, could they put the ball in the hole? Now it seems, you know, with 52 points and a record breaking 98 for the freaking game.
I mean, yeah, I know,
it makes the Aztecs a very, very formidable matchup if they can keep up what they did over this last week.
Yeah, and instead of pouting or instead of complaining about not starting, both Arope and Adam Seiko had career highs in points. They had 14 points, both of them, on 10 of 12 shooting combined. So, and Seiko also had a career best five assists. I like this. This is one of the reasons I love Brad Dutcher and I love this team, is because it's all high quality, high character guys. And I'm not a fan of the me players. I cannot stand that. I've always been a team player, and I understand how much a team's psyche plays into things. And I love that these guys went to the bench, didn't say a word, came out, did their thing, and ended up with some career highs.
Well, yeah, I think that ultimately, again, Dutch goes and recruits the players that he needs. But I also know Dutch well enough to know that he sat them both down and talked to them, I'm sure, probably okay, individually.
Yeah.
And told them that it has nothing to do with them. They're just missing. We can look at the numbers. We can look at the data. And this is what we're missing. And inside of that, the other part is that both of them should have taken it personal, right? If you lose your starting job, you should take it a little personal, right? That doesn't mean you become a jerk. You just perform, right? You know, sports are about, or life itself is about performing at whatever it is you decide to put your hand at. So when they got their opportunity, they went out there and they played with some fire, right? They got, and were able to have good games, and hopefully they can continue that. I don't know if I think that he should keep the lineup the way he has it and bring him off the bench, you know, from, you know, the rest of the way out.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But again, I just think that it was a much needed change to a team that was struggling offensively.
And I mean, we all talked about it. It was glaring how much they struggled offensively, especially with, and we talked about specifically adding Terrell Gomez into the mix.
Right.
And so we're happy to see that happen. And it's really easy to, these days, I don't want to sound like I'm too much of a get off my lawn guy, but I've been having a huge issue with like players on social media making it all about them. I just, social media and me, I'm not a big fan of right now. But that's why, that's one of the reasons that San Diego State basketball is high in my mind, is because those guys don't get on social media. They don't do that. There's easily a chance for them to complain in some sort of forum, and they didn't. And I wanted to highlight that because we don't talk about that enough, of the guys who do what they're supposed to do, what is best for the team, is what I meant to say there. So I wanted to highlight that a little bit. These guys, good, high quality character guys.
Well, yeah, I think that there is a, when you use social media, right, there has to be a reason that you're on there, for at least for me, right? You have to be, you know, there has to be a reason. And most of those reasons should be positive. The thing is that if it's called, like us, for us old folks, Facebook, right? Well, then it's all about you, right? You
know what I mean? Yeah.
And then, if Facebook owns Instagram, well, guess what? You're going to get more of the same on Instagram.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? True. I'm a big fan. If you're going to be on IG or if you're going to be on those other platforms, you know, have some positive to say, right? And if it is something about you, have something that can help somebody else. Don't just get on there and just make it all about you, or, you know, you working out. We should be able to see you as an athlete. We should be able to see your work in the game, right? That's the test, right? I don't want to necessarily have to watch you work out. I don't want you to set your phone up in the corner while you shoot. You know what I mean? That's not for public consumption. That's for you to get better. So, but again, I'm happy with, I'm going to be honest. I'm not surprised that Dutch has built the group the way that he's built it. But I'm a little surprised that Dutch has built the group the way he's built it. I would have thought that
What do you mean by that?
I would have thought that he would have went after a little bit more of high risk kids. I thought that he would have gone after some kids that were a little bit more edgy.
All right.
But he steered away from that. He stayed clear of a lot of that. And he needs to be commended for that, because ultimately you win. With cohesion, right? You got to bring a group together. And I thought as soon as Dutch would have gotten a head job, that he would have started going out to the top, you know, top 15, top 20, top 30 kids in the country. And those kids are so high risk, and there's so much turnover with those kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's, you know, Dutch is savvy, right? And he figured that out, and he's put together a really good group.
He has put together a really good group, and the halftime score, or I already said that the halftime score is 52-16. What I meant to say was that the only thing we could take bad out of this game, the first game against the Air Force, is their free throw shooting once again was just atrocious. 13 for 24 in game one. That's 54.2%. I'm not a college basketball player, but I know if I took 24 free throws, I'm making at least 14. Hoping to make at least 14.
Well, I think that there's a couple things at play there. I think, again, it goes back to us not really having a natural scorer on the team or scorers on the team. Mm-hmm. Because scorers, whenever they shoot the ball, it just no matter where they shoot the ball from, it goes in.
Yeah.
It seems like the emphasis over the last couple weeks has been the three-point shot, which is where they really shot the ball well from, right? And mm-hmm. shooting threes is – there's no thinking in that. You just catch it and you hoist it up there as you know, as – I don't using as much strength as possible, right? You know, I don't want to say throwing it, but you just get to using a ton of strength. There's a totally different mentality when you got to walk up to a free throw line and you're by yourself, right?
And that's true. I guess so.
So we just again, I just think we need more scores. Once we get a few more scores in the group, I think that the free throw percentage will go up.
All right, let's move to the second game. Now, this one I was a little bit more worried for. Not that they were going to lose, but I felt like this may have been a little bit closer just because of the altitude. Air Force is at 7,000 feet. I read Mark Ziegler's article. I read a couple people saying on Twitter about how two games in the altitude, the second game is usually not as good for the team that's the visitor because they're not used to the altitude and that starts taking an effect on you. But it was no problem at all. The Aztecs went on to win 91-59 to move to 11-4 on the year. They actually scored more points in the second half than they did in the first half by three. And back-to-back games in the 90-point range is not an easy feat to accomplish in college basketball. I don't know that we see that very often from teams at all.
No, I also know that we don't see a team shoot 80% from the three-point line either in one stretch, right? So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And that also and being able to shoot that three saves the legs. If you don't have to run around or drive to the basket, it just saves the leg. And we got – seems like when we got warm, everybody kind of got warm at the same time.
Yeah.
Shackleman was, you know, he was tremendous, man. His shooting stroke, you just believe that it's going in every time. And I think he's given the rest of the guys on the team confidence to shoot the ball. Again, Gomez was another one that shot the ball really well. You know, he was able to set his feet and shoot it in. And then around the basket, my man Mensah actually played pretty good. You know, he played pretty good in both of those games. He was able to, you know, I wish his numbers, I really do wish his number for his pedigree, his numbers should be higher. And I'm gonna poke and prod at him all year because I think that kid can be a pro if he puts his mind to it. But he played really well. Everybody played pretty good, you know, and they held down the fort. Even the bench guys got in there at the end. Throwing it in.
Excuse me. Yeah, no, the bench guys definitely. Now tell me how hard this is to do. And we'll get to Matt Mitchell in 1 second because he did surprisingly make an appearance in the game last night against the Air Force. But this guy, Cade Alger, is a walk-on freshman. He's 6'9". He finally got some points in his career.
You did.
How hard in his first game he got some points against the Air Force. He had 3 points and then 4 points last night. I mean, how difficult is that to walk on to a San Diego State basketball team? That's got to be very hard.
You know, it is. It depends on the situation. I don't know much about that. I know that if he's 6'9", I think that it was a he'll situation a where they just didn't have enough scholarships, you know, at the time for him. And I'm almost certain that he'll be on scholarship next year at 6'9". What year is this for him?
It's his first. He's a freshman.
Yeah, so I'm almost certain that he'll at some point he's going to be given a scholarship at 6'9". But it has to be difficult, right, to get those minutes as a freshman and not be a scholarship player. Yeah. But it seems like, I mean, again, he's competing just like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
And he got out there and he actually did pretty good. Now, again, I don't want to overstate. I want to be very real in what I'm saying. I don't want to overstate the wins because we beat a team that was, you know, I think they're 4-10 now or something along those lines.
Air Force, yes, they are 4-10, correct.
4-10. So I don't want to overstate the win, but winning is always good, no matter who you play against. So I want to, of course, I want to make sure that, we keep that in perspective, right? But
yeah,
they are, they have been, they play really, 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 really well in that particular game.
That this was a perfect timing for this series because of what they came off of Utah State, and now they're primed for the stretch run. They still do have a chance at the Mountain West. Like, that's not out yet. So if you win the Mountain West conference tournament, that mm-hmm. is an automatic bid to automatic the NCAA bid. Tournament.
Right.
So that's right now I'm thinking that's where it looks best for them to make the tournament. Unless there's some falling apart at the top, I don't expect that to happen enough for them to make up enough ground with how many games do they have left? They have 2, 4, 6, 8. They have 10 games left. So,
yeah, I mean, well, something has to, Utah State has to fall completely apart in order for that to happen. And
it's probably not going to happen.
Right. But but winning the tournament is a very real possibility. They actually play Utah State closer than I thought they would. Utah True. State had been mauling everybody that they played against, and I think they beat us, a few points.
We did talk about that last week about how Utah State was averaging like say 80 points a game, somewhere around there, for the right. past like 6 or 7 coming into the Aztec series, and the Aztecs only gave up 57 and 64. So that shows you their defense,
right.
and they didn't have Matt Mitchell in that second game, so that was right. even more impressive to me. But right. let's talk about Matt Mitchell, because he did return from his hyperextended knee. It's just a great news story for us to know that Matt Mitchell's good enough to go out on the court and play, because a week ago or a week and a half ago, it seemed like he had a torn ACL and people were fearing the worst. Even Dutcher after the game said, "I am not feeling good for Matt Mitchell." So he went out, he played 14 minutes and he did really well. So he's back. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Matt Mitchell's going to be okay. And they could rest up going into their last 10 games of the season. That just tells you that there's no issues with his knee whatsoever, that he even stepped on the floor last night, because he wasn't expected to be back.
Yeah, well, it tells me that, but it also tells me that he's a tough kid, right?
True.
He's a tough kid.
Yeah, he had 10 points. Yeah.
Right.
7 and, rebounds.
Right. I mean, Matt is one of those guys that can play any place, right? If he gets an opportunity to play at the highest level, I think he'll be okay. I think that he'll stay there very long, or do I think that he'll be drafted? Probably not. But I do think he can play basketball. And the way he plays is that, having that kind of guy on your team makes you very, very formidable. He's excellent off the bounce. He's big and he's strong. He can get to different spots on the floor. He can score from all different, from all three levels, all three levels. And then to see him checking the game, I was watching the game. I looked, I was like, wait, he's not even supposed to be out there.
I thought so too. I was stunned when I saw that he came into the game. I was stunned. I was like, what are you doing, Dutch? We don't need him.
But again, I'm almost certain that he told him, he told himself that he didn't want to miss any games. And as a leader on the team, you want to make sure that you're part of all those games. I think that all great players, I think all the great Aztecs never missed games. I don't think I ever missed. In fact, I don't even think I missed a practice when I was at San Diego State ever. So, yeah, man.
Let's give you a round of applause. So
if I could tap myself on the back real fast. But, I think that, but I also think that he's a very, very, the more I watch him, the more I believe that he's a very, very special talent, right? He's a special talent. You don't see those kind of guys come around a lot. I want him to be the very best that he can be in his last season. I think this is his last season as a he's a senior.
Yeah, it
right?
should be. Yes. I believe he is a senior. I get all those confused, even though I know I should know it off the top of my head, because him and Jordan Shackle are the same year, but yes, right. he is a senior. So. Yeah. They both came in at the same time, freshmen, true freshmen. So they've been playing all 4 years. Now, past Air Force, let's look ahead to Wyoming real quick, because the Aztecs are coming home. They're going to play Wyoming on Thursday, and they're going to play Wyoming on Saturday. Wyoming is 10-5. They're fifth in the Mountain West, but they are coming off of 2 straight wins over Nevada. But then they lost to Air Force in the series before. They split the series with Air Force. So this team is all over the place, because they're splitting with Fresno State, which Fresno State's not that good this year. They lost twice to Boise State, and then they split with Air Force, and then won two over Nevada. So it's at least at home. They're not going to be playing in the Dome of Doom, which is my favorite nickname for any stadium in America. 7,000 whatever feet, and they let you know about it. So I don't think that they should have any problem with Wyoming, but again, you can't ever look past them. But I do predict two wins out of this series this week.
I'm going to say that I believe that there'll be a split. I think
a split. That you're really good at these, by the way. You've called every time we've predicted things, you've been spot on, and I've been completely wrong. So
I think there'll be a split. I think that both teams have their ups and downs. And I think that we, after playing against Air Force twice, I think that I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but I think that there'll be an adjustment period over the course of at least the first game to play at a higher level, right? Wyoming is not Air Force. So, yeah. You know, they will punch you in the mouth proverbially, you know, and you'll, you know, can cause some issues, right, for us.
But they will cause,
I
they
do think that there's going to be some fights. There's and when I say that, not physical fights or, you know, but I do think that it's going to be a battle for us to get through those games.
Yeah, and I guess Matt Mitchell played last game, but we don't really know how good he is to go. I'm guessing he's a full go if he even made an appearance in that game last night, but you just never know how sore his knee's going to feel this morning when he wakes up. Hyperextension is not, it's not an easy cut and dry injury. It could linger on with soreness for a while, depending on how his body reacts to it. But that's what we're looking at coming up this week. San Diego State back at home, taking on Wyoming. Hopefully they can continue the trend of winning. They've won two in a row now over Air Force, or the Air Force, I should say. Any things you wanted to highlight from before we go, like from the second game, from coming up on Wyoming?
No, I just think that the biggest thing is that we just need to continue to shoot the ball. I don't know if we need to shoot the ball at the rate that we were shooting it at in that last game, but whatever confidence that the guys felt in terms of shooting the basketball is the difference between winning and losing. Shooting the ball at a high clip, we can defend until the cows come home, right? But if we can't put the ball in the hole, and that should be the one of the things that Dutch harps on the whole year is the offensive development. I think that he needs to make sure that his assistant coaches are getting with people within the rules of the NCAA, hint, hint, and working out with guys and making sure that they're shooting the ball at a very, very high clip. If we can shoot the ball half of what we shot the ball in Air Force and to do that on the road, I 100% believe that we'll be hard to beat come down the stretch. Like you said, around tournament time, we'll be very, very difficult to beat if we shoot the ball at that clip.
The season within the season within the season, right, is how it always goes. It's, you just got to compartmentalize, have your overall goal of making the tournament, but your other goal of just winning in a nightly basis.
Right.
That's it for this podcast. Thank you, Randy, and Believe Aztecs Basketball for believing in us. See what I did there? Ha, 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 ha. Leaving us to do this podcast. That was really dorky. I might cut that out, but I'm probably going to leave it in. So we'll leave it in. Believe Podcast Network has a podcast for every one of your teams and the only place with a show for your favorite team. We'll be back next Monday with another episode of Aztecs Basketball Basketball Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.